Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Each and every week, we bring terrific guests to the show. We try to broaden the horizon of people who are out there listening, trying to find solutions to problems in the lending. Now, we talk about favoritism, racism, all kinds of things on the show that affect borrowers. Borrowers out there, all they want to do is get a loan, get a house. They don't want all the mishigas and everything else going on to prevent them from doing that, but that's just not the way it is, and fighting that and trying to combat that is what we've been doing at the company I work for, Malibu Funding, who sponsors the show for years. Anyway, I brought a person who's written a book, The Colorful Image of God, concerning some of these topics, and I bring her on now, Catherine Martin. Catherine, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, I'm great. Good to be here.
Thank you very much, and thanks for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I love to get a chance to talk about this important topic, so I'm grateful.
You know, I don't know if you're aware. I guess everybody's aware at some point that in the lending business, you know, people lend primarily to communities that they think can pay back the loan easily, right? But unfortunately for us, that means a certain look of a person.
Yeah.
Combating the thought that's a safer loan is maddening. Your book deals with it in different ways. Tell me something about the book and something about how you're helping to try to bring this awareness to people.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right, in your industry, right? We see this a lot. I think historically, going all the way back to redlining, probably before that, that's not necessarily my industry's expertise, but in general, I think we can look at any system, any business in our country in particular, and see elements of racism. So my background is largely education. I've been working in the education space for about 15 years, and honestly, about 15 years ago, my eyes were really open to the injustice of our public education system. Some kids, you know, that are middle, upper class, getting great public school education, and those kids normally are white, and then other kids growing up in poverty, oftentimes black and brown children, not getting as good education. So that was a problem that I was seeking to solve with other people. But as I got into it, Jeff, I think just realizing, gosh, like, this goes really, really deep. And so the book that I wrote about was sort of my personal experience awakening to race and racism in this country, what it means to be white, white privilege, somewhat around the education system, but honestly more broadly. And I've just been on this journey to become a better human, you know, looking at things like implicit bias, stereotypes and things like that. So that's the basis of the book.
You know, the book itself comes across as you personally, which is always a great way that I like to read something rather than a very cold technical manual on a how-to. This is, as you said, your personal experience, which comes through loudly in the book, as well as specific examples of what you went through and how it is, I guess, expressed to a larger audience. Is that what you intended to do when you wrote the book?
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. I really wrote it as a gift to largely other white people, specifically white people of the Christian faith. That's my lens, but I think any white person could really benefit from it. But I felt like I was given such a gift of feedback, honestly, from some colleagues of color many, many years ago who said, listen, our experiences are not the same as those of our white counterparts. And with me being a leader on that team, that hit hard, and I thought, oh my gosh, what do you mean? Like, I think I'm a good person. I think I love people well. I think I'm a good manager. But as I began to sort of listen to their stories and their experiences of everyday racism that happens, you know, everywhere, right? In organizations, at the grocery store, wherever, I realized that this is an area that I just didn't know a lot about. And so I honestly went back to thinking about childhood, how I was raised. And I think we all receive messages from different places, family, media, et cetera, and really had to sort of interrogate what I believed about people and just trying to live better. I mean, I would never say that I think differently of people because of the color of their skin tone, but when you really begin to understand whiteness and racism, you realize that we all are involved and are guilty in some ways. And the book certainly is not about trying to make people feel bad, but just really sort of bringing awareness to the issue to figure out what is our own small part that we can all play in uprooting this challenge.
Now, it being a challenge, is this one of the reasons that you brought a Christian perspective to the book, to try to help people understand that either through whatever mechanism they use, the example that you always bring in is something from the Bible? Is that a way by which you can soften the message, or is this just something by which you think, no, this is who we are as this, so you can't do this because that would be hypocritical?
Yeah. So because I see the world through that Christian lens and believe in God, to me, as I started learning about racism, I felt this real dissonance between what I truly believe, which is, you know, imago Dei, all people are made in the image of God, all people have inherent worth and dignity, and there was a real dissonance between what I believed and then how people were telling me their lived experiences were, you know, under my leadership and just in general. And so I think, to me, the way I wrote the book and trying to bring in scripture and I think how Jesus lived is to point out to Christians in particular, if we're trying to live the life of Jesus, someone that got proximate to the marginalized and the poor and loved people really, really well, there's a lot of areas as the sort of broad church that we're not doing that super well. You know, I think a lot of times white people, especially in the church I'm finding, can get defensive,
yep,
and sort of get really nervous talking about race and say, oh, not me. And I think if we're truly walking in the ways of Jesus, we would be much more humble and sort of take a breath and recognize that racism is just like any other sin area. And if we want to, you know, live better lives, we've got to kind of unpack this and understand that race really does affect every system of our country. So that was my connection to the Christian worldview. I will say, you know, some of my friends that are not Christians who identify as white that have read the book feel like, you know what, for me, I just replace God with the universe or, you know, whatever their right understanding of a higher power is in some cases. Mm-hmm. And the core messages of sort of understanding self and understanding systems of injustice, I think still really are resonating with people, which is great.
How do you feel about people calling you super woke?
Listen, what we don't want to do, especially as white people, is get into the woke wars, right?
Right.
I mean, I think
right,
white progressives, which I would consider myself one,
yep,
can be some of the worst of this, sort of trying to one-up each other. And
yep,
like, we don't want to do that. Then we're just as guilty, right? And so I think this is really about, listen, like, if being woke means, you know, literally being awakened to issues of race and injustice, then, yeah, I'd like to think I'm woke, but not in a status way, or I think that we've got to be really careful about making other people feel bad. Like, if you don't know about this stuff, you don't know about it. And so I think, how can we bring people into the conversation? That's why I try to tell a lot of personal, really vulnerable
right
stories of places where I've gotten this wrong, because if the end goal is that we all, you know, live better lives, right, love our neighbors better, help figure out some of these injustices in the system, like, we don't need people, you know, feeling bad or feeling like they don't have a place at the table to learn. So I think that I think for me, it's all about learning. And honestly, like, we're never going to be, in my opinion, woke enough. If we want to use that phrase, I think it's all about learning and that journey, honestly.
Who is the book directed to?
Yeah, I mean, the book is directed to white Christians. I think that people that say that they love God and love their neighbor and identify as white in general have a lot of learning to do in this area. I don't think, especially because many churches in America are segregated, I don't think broadly, this is getting better, but I don't think a lot, broadly speaking, a lot of white churches are tackling racism and honestly understanding the church's role in it. I mean, the reason that a lot of black churches were started in this country is because they weren't invited to the white churches, right? Like, segregation. And so I think we've got to sort of bring a stance of humility and get better. So I think that is my target audience. And then, like I said, I think that white people that are not necessarily people of any faith or of other faith are finding some points in it. And I'll be honest, Jeff, I've heard recently some of my friends of color that they have enjoyed the book because they care about this topic and they care about making the world a better place. And they're
right,
people that just like reading different people's perspectives. So that's kind of been cool too, but they are not my target audience. You know, they're sort of living under this racism world every day.
Listen, we have run out of time. I want to have you back, but could you let people know, one, how they can get the book, and two, how they might be able to contact you?
Yeah, I'd love to. The easiest place is my website. It's Katherine Learns, so KatherineLearns.com. I blog on that site, and there's also a page about my book where you can order it directly from any of the major online retailers, and you can certainly email me, follow along to my newsletter and things like that via the website. So KatherineLearns.com is the best place, and the book, again, is called The Colorful Image of God. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble online, et cetera.
Katherine Martin, hey, thanks very much for coming on the show. That was terrific. I appreciate it very much, and let's do it again.
Thanks for the opportunity. I love it. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Katherine. I'm Jeff Martin, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.